It's not that I am weird. It's just that this is Champaka's baby Krishna. So,
no, he said not to.
Now he can do it. I'm already on the internet publicly with thousands of people. So, we're going to read about Narottamadas Thakur. Okay, so Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Medita Miena Tasmai Shi Gurve Namaha. So the Narottamadas Thakur story starts with Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami was actually older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate in Sridhar Mayapur, and he was sent to Vrindavan before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas because he didn't want to see Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi. But even then, he tried to meet Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya was in South India, and when he got to South India, he heard Lord Chaitanya went to Braj. So then he went back to Braj, and then he heard Lord Chaitanya went to Prayag. And then he was going to go to Prayag to see Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya appeared in a dream telling him, stay in Vrindavan, we're actually never separated. So he actually never saw Lord Chaitanya externally in that life again. Lord Chaitanya explained to him in a dream that Narottamadas Thakur will become your disciple. So that's the spiritual master of Narottamadas Thakur. But let's go back a little bit. So Lord Chaitanya, once upon a time, visited this place called Kateri. And as he was bathing in this river called the Padma River, he started crying out the name Narottam. And the biographers describe that he deposited his prema in the Padma River. And with Lord Nityananda, he was describing the characteristics of Narottamadas Thakur. So, Narottama, sometime later, took birth in Kateri, and an astrologer predicted he would be the best of men, and that's why he got the name Narottama. So Narottamadas, it wasn't Thakur at that point, he refused rice at his grain ceremony until it was offered to Lord Vishnu. He was the son of the king, Raj Krishnananda, and Narayani was his mother. And when he was 12 years old, he had a dream, and Lord Nityananda said to him, go to the Padma River, bathe, and come back. And so he went to the Padma River, bathed, and his whole skin turned golden at that particular point. He became extremely apathetic, that means without any feeling. To material life, his parents were very much in anxiety because they always wanted to get him married, just like we see sometime with one of my disciples here in India, that his mother and his sister are coming to me crying all the time because he's not married yet. Anyway, and his parents were in anxiety. They had guards. It was like Rajanathas Goswami felt like he was in prison. He also associated with a devotee named Krishnadas who kept relating the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates to Narottamadas. In a dream, Narottamadas Thakur, was informed by Lord Chaitanya that you will be initiated by Lokanath Goswami. So he escaped from home one day and went to Vrindavan. Rupan Sanatan Goswami had passed away by this particular point, but he dreamt of them. And Srinivas Acharya also had a dream. Srinivas was already in Vrindavan at that particular juncture. He had a dream that Narottam was coming the next day. So these people were always connected so much, so they knew when the other person was coming. In other words, life after life, these personalities are connected because they're nityasiddha devotees. So when he got to Vrindavan, Narottam got to Vrindavan, he met the remaining Goswamis, those who were still on the planet. And Lokanath Goswami refused to give him initiation. Famous story. So, in order to prove to Lokanath Goswami he was qualified for initiation, he, in secret, cleansed Lokanath Goswami's latrine, which is the outside bathroom. And for 1 year, he did this. And In a dream, Loganath Goswami was informed by Lord Chaitanya he should give Narottama Das initiation. And of course, he wanted to see who was cleaning his latrine too. So one day he just looked out and he saw that Narottama Das Thakur was cleansing the latrine. So later on, he got trained by Shivaji Goswami, along with Shyamananda Goswami and Srinivasacharya. And there's the famous story that he and Shyamananda and Srinivas took the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. Those books were actually stolen by King Virahamvir and his men. And later, Virahamvir took shelter of Srinivasacharya, took initiation from Srinivasacharya. And his whole town or kingdom of Vanavishnupura became Krishna conscious. He actually kicked anyone out who didn't chant Hare Krishna. Then Narottama Das Thakur visited Navadvipa. He had a vision, which we described as a spurti in one of the discussions I had this morning on the internet, of Navadvipa as it was when Lord Chaitanya was present. And he visited Janava Mata and Vasudha, who were the wives of Lord Nityananda. He visited Jagannath Puri, went to Ekachakra, Lord Nityananda's place. And then he saw Lord Nityananda, but Lord Nityananda took the guise of a Brahmin he was hiding. And he guided Narottama Das around Ekachakra. And later on, he turned into Balaram and showed his form as Nityananda to Narottama Das Thakur. So then he went back to Khetri, which is his birthplace, and in the dream, he dreamt that there was a deity in a godown, that means a storage place. And so he went to that godown and he asked the person who owned the godown if he could go in there and find the deity, because it was a rice storage place. And he said, the owner said, not a good idea, there's snakes there. But Narottama Das Thakur went there, and the snakes just slithered away, and he found deities of Lord Chaitanya and Vishnu Priya there. And he arranged for a grand festival. And sometimes the acharyas describe that this is the first official, let's say, celebration of Guru Purnima, big celebration of Guru Purnima, in which six sets of deities were installed. Janava Mata, she was actually the one in charge of the installation and the cooking for the deities. And she was the acharya, the main acharya at that particular point, which is very interesting because she's often cited as being one of the female gurus in our Sampradaya. So Lord Chaitanya, and it's also interesting, as a female guru, as we say, FDG, you know what that stands for? Female Vishnu Guru. As a female guru, she didn't travel alone. She traveled actually with her son, and she traveled with the son, so she never liked traveling alone. She was always protected, which is actually part of the Vedic system. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya appeared during the deity installation, during the kirtan of Narottama Das Thakur. And not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear, all of his associates appeared at the same time. Then they had, after this whole thing, of course they were in ecstasy. After that, they all disappeared. So then they had a holy festival in which they all threw red powder on each other. So that was the first celebration, official celebration of Guru Purnima. Later on, Brahmanas were complaining about Narottama Das Thakur taking the position of guru, because in his position as guru, he was initiating people from the Brahmin caste. So, and Narottama was considered a Shudra, because even though his father was a king, it was like Kayastha, which is considered like a Shudra caste. So, the scholars went to the king, Narasingha, and they all wanted to go to Narottama Das Thakur to defeat him in argumentation, showing that he actually didn't know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, what happened is that Rupa Narayan was a big scholar. And he was going, Rupa Narayan, he's one of these Digby Jayas, that means scholars who go around conquering other scholars. He was sent by the king to defeat Narottama Das Thakur. So, on the way to defeat Narottama Das Thakur, two of Narottama Das Thakur's disciples, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, who were born in Brahmin families and knew Sanskrit quite well, stationed themselves in the village before Khetri, where Narottama Das Thakur was. And not only did they station themselves there, but one of them acted as sort of different shopkeepers. You know, betel nut, some betel nut, another was selling something else. And when this Rupa Narayan came there, he wanted to buy some things before he got to Narottama Das Thakur's place. They defeated him with very high Sanskrit, in argumentation, very high Sanskrit, and he asked them, how are you able to do this? I mean, who's your guru? And they said, Narottama Das Thakur. So he became quite humiliated. And in that evening, Rupa Narayan, who came to defeat Narottama Das Thakur, had a dream. And Durga appeared in his dream and said, I will kill you unless you surrender to
Narottama.
So that's a pretty good surrender. And so not only did he take initiation from Narottama Das Thakur, but the king and the queen also took initiation from Narottama Das Thakur. Then there's the famous story of Chand Roy. Chand Roy was actually a very famous dacoit. And he became ghostly haunted. And Chand Roy's father, who was actually a good devotee, went to Narottama Das Thakur, and Narottama Das Thakur cured him of this ghostly haunting. And Chand Roy became very humble. Previously he was a dacoit, and he became a great devotee. But there was a king who was very angry with him for his previous activities. It was Yavana King. And he put Chand Roy into prison. And many things happened in the prison. First of all, the father was very worried about Chand Roy being in prison. So the father enlisted the help of some tantric to get Chand Roy out of prison. So this tantric was able to somehow or other, let's say, beam himself in, you know, use a Star Trek particular expression. He was able to beam himself into the prison, and he said, come with me, I'll take you away, I can beam you up, Scotty. Anyway, so, but he said, I'll beam you out of the prison. And Chand Roy said, no, I won't. Narottama Das Thakur is my spiritual master. I'll never take help from a tantric. It's very interesting. So the Yavana king thought, now I should torture Chand Roy. So he put an elephant, a wild elephant, in front of him to trample Chand Roy. This wild elephant came running towards Chand Roy. Chand Roy was chanting the holy names of Krishna, and he grabbed the elephant's trunk and ripped the trunk of the elephant off. You heard that story before, didn't you?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, and so another point, so that's the story of Chand Roy and the mercy of Narottama Das Thakur. Another aspect of Narottama Das Thakur's pastimes is his relationship with Ramchandra Kaviraj. Ramchandra Kaviraj was an inseparable friend from Narottama Das Thakur. Ramchandra Kaviraj was initiated by Srinivas Acharya. So when Ramchandra Kaviraj and Srinivas, his spiritual master, went to Vrindavan and left this world, Narottama Das Thakur decided to leave this world too. And the way he intended to do this was quite interesting. He climbed up on a funeral pyre when he was still alive. And for 3 days, he was sitting there getting ready to leave his body. And he wasn't going to be burnt to death, but he was just going to leave through yogic power. And then his disciples got very upset with that. The reason they got upset with that was because the ritualistic brahmanas were actually making fun of Narottama Das Thakur and say this is a very inauspicious way of going. He's actually just a Shudra. Now he's shown himself for his true colors. And so Narottama Das Thakur's disciples were very upset with this. And as a result, they pleaded with Narottama Das Thakur not to leave in this way. So Narottama Das Thakur stood up and manifested a gold Brahmin thread on his body. So they understood that a Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmin. And everyone chanted, Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So finally, a few days later, he became determined to leave his body, basically because of the separation he was feeling from Ramchandra Kaviraj and Srinivasacharya. Of course, he wrote that famous verse, the famous poem, Yeyamila Premadana Kodanath Vachur, the Parsha Goda Viraha Vilapa. And he's told his disciples to basically pour Ganges water on him, give him like an abhishek while he was in the Ganges, and his body turned to milk, like a milky white substance. And they made a samadhi that's called the Dugdha Samadhi, or the milk samadhi. Narottama Das Thakur was an exponent of a particular type of kirtan, an unusual type of kirtan. His writings included the Prarthana, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, and other literatures. And of course, every day we're chanting, you know, the Guru prayers that were written by Narottama Das Thakur, not Guru Vashtika, but Sri Guru Charana Padma, and other prayers that were written by Srila Narottama Das Thakur. So one other aspect of his, let's say his pastimes of teaching, is that he shows the importance of presenting Krishna consciousness in terms of the what we mentioned yesterday, the vernacular, that is the local language. Because he took that same knowledge that was presented in elevated Sanskrit and put it into simple Bengali poetry. Not complex Bengali poetry, but simple Bengali poetry that everyone could understand. So this is the compassion or mercy of the Vaishnavas. Okay. And that's the story of Narottama Das Thakur. Any questions? Oops, sorry. I'm going to put my elbow in Krishna's face. Great offense. No, he's all right. I just have to be careful. It's not every day I get to sit on the swing with Krishna. I guess if I was a gopi, it would be appropriate, but not an old sannyasi sitting on the swing with Krishna. If I was Sudama Brahman, I'd be rich by now. So, any questions?
I remember hearing that Narottama's parents had been told by an astrologer or somebody that don't let him swim in the Padma River or he'll go mad.
Something like that, yeah. He came out and he was mad. He was like golden. His parents couldn't recognize him.
And he's the Prema incarnation?
Incarnation of the Lord's Prema, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty far out.
Yeah, that's Narottama Das Thakur. Amazing.
Incarnation of the Lord's Prema, so a jiva empowered by the Lord's Prema?
That's right. He's empowered to manifest that and to give that.
That's nice.
And if you read his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, you'll see that each of the poems details a certain stage in devotional service. I mean, like worship of the Guru, and then he goes up and up and up and up and up and up and finally, you know,
so
Krishna's relationship with the gopis.
The song that we read today, would that be like the first stage, worship of the Vaishnavas?
That's one of the initial stages, yeah.
Is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur his disciple?
What?
Is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur?
Not directly, no. Because he's considered to be Siksha. But he's not Diksha, no.
Because what I've heard is that.
Because it was a long time afterwards when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared.
Because I've heard it was Srila Prabhupada was in Saraswati Thakur, all the way to the sixth Swamis, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, then Narottama Das Thakur, then Lord Chaitanya.
No, there's actually a whole chain there.
Okay.
Let's see if I have the information. There's a whole bunch of Chakravartis and things like that. Anyway, I forget the exact chain. I don't have it right here. But he wasn't, let's say, directly, physically disciple, but is considered to be Siksha.
Why do people who, so many people in ISKCON, they have this idea that in order to become a devotee, like, why aren't I experiencing taste? Well then, in order to become a devotee, I guess I need to meditate on Krishna with the Ashtakaliya Lila, and I need to have Rasika friends and talk about Rasika pastimes in a certain way.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of this going on. It's heavy food, but the emphasis over and over and over again, Narottam Das Thakur, you know, guru.
Yeah.
Why do people do that?
Well, it's jumping, like big belly, big monkey, Ceylon jumping, melancholy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the adhikar or the right to concentrate on those pastimes. And they're not following the footsteps of the acharyas. Of course, the Mahabharata mentions Tarko Pratishta of Sudina Vidina. That one cannot understand the absolute truth by logic and reasoning, nor even by studying the Vedas, but only by Mahajanayana Katasapanta, following the path chalked out by the great devotees like Dharma Das Thakur. And that's our path, and that's Prabhupada's path. I mean, Narottama Das Thakur, he was on the highest platform of devotional service, yet he was completely absorbed in preaching Krishna consciousness. I mean, completely absorbed. You'll find very few, let's say, Babaji type of personalities in our sampradaya. Of course, Gorbachev, that's Babaji Maharaj, and Jagannath, that's Babaji Maharaj, but they are very unusual. Very, very unusual. The Goshtanandis. And even as Goshtanandis, they preach tremendously. I mean, you read the history of Jagannath, that's Babaji Maharaj, and Gorbachev, that's Babaji Maharaj. You don't really find them just remaining somewhere and just doing bhajan. I mean, they're actually giving people, initiating people, advising
writing
people.
Books.
Yeah, writing books. Well, Gorbachev's Babaji Maharaj didn't write any books. He was illiterate. But, giving advice, giving shelter. None of them just, like, sat down and just, you know, absorbed themselves in us. And certainly they didn't advise their disciples to do that either. I mean, that's not enough sampradaya. That's any of the great acharyas.
You hear it all the time, though, that in order to become a mature devotee, and the reason I'm not having enough taste is that I need to absorb myself into Ashtakaliya Lila.
The reason you're not having taste, you're not preaching Krishna, you're not sharing what you have. That's the reason you don't have taste, yeah.
I just have a question, because, you know, following in the footsteps of great devotees is obviously our path. Yet with Narottam, it seems, on one hand, he actually was kind of given prema by Lord Chaitanya through bathing in the Padma River. So what would you, I mean, it seems like that for us or myself, we're more, you know, Vaidhi Sadakas.
He has prema already. Remember, he's an interested devotee.
Yeah.
No, actually, we become Krishna conscious by Radhanuga. Vaidhi just puts us on the right path, but the Radhanuga that we follow is, as Prabhupada said, acting in the footsteps or following the footsteps of the gopis by preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was asked one time whether Sankirtan, this is Ramaswara, whether book distribution was in the mood of the gopis, and Prabhupada said yes. Very interesting. So that's the method Prabhupada gave us for following in the footsteps of the gopis. It's a very easy method. I mean, if one feels compassion, as Krishna says in the Gita, one who teaches this Bhagavad Gita is most dear to him. And there will never be one more dear than he. That's a pretty heavy statement. That's an absolute statement. Talk about absolute statements. And it's not hyperbole. You know what hyperbole is? Exaggeration. So he says, there will never be one more dear to me than he or she who teaches this Bhagavad Gita. So, I mean, you take this in a broad context, he or she who brings someone to Krishna consciousness. and probably many times talked about how Krishna is an anxiety for the plight of the conditioned soul, so it's our duty to relieve his anxiety. Like the gopis were presented with the fact that Krishna had a headache, and in order to relieve Krishna's headache, they weren't interested in their own like prema or anything like that, or even in their own situation. They didn't care. They went to help. They went to give the dust of their feet for Krishna's, you know, that famous story. So that's our mood. I mean, where do you find in the Shikshashika, which is Lord Chaitanya's teaching, that one should just simply sit and absorb themselves in Ashtakaliya Leela? Mm-hmm. You know, you find in the final verse of the Shikshashika, Krishna, you may leave me brokenhearted, you may crush me by your embrace, you're completely free to do anything and everything, but I'll remain. You will remain, sorry, you will remain worship the Lord. In other words, I'll remain your servant. By saying that you will remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally, means that I will remain your servant, unconditional servant. So servitude is an essential aspect or element in all the rasas, except for Shanta Ras mixed with servitude, but anyway, with all the higher rasas. Isn't it? I mean, the gopis, they're trying to serve Krishna. They're not trying to enjoy Krishna. They're not thinking, oh, I want to go for the nectar of the rasa dance. They're hearing Krishna's flute, and they're feeling an intense desire to serve Krishna. It's not like we hear the flute of some mundane musician that we want to go to the concert. You can't equate the two. Like, I remember there was one flute player when I was young, he was quite good. His name was Jethro Tull. I don't know if anyone's heard of him. Anyway, and I was very attracted to his flute playing. Whatever. And, but I wasn't thinking, attracted to going to hear him, to serve him. I was attracted to enjoy my senses. So sometimes people project the material mentality upon the Lord's manifestations or the Lord's pastimes, and they think, really, I want to be part of Krishna's pastimes because I want to enjoy in that particular situation. But that's not the mood of the gopis, it's not the mood of Mother Yashoda, it's not the mood of the cowherd boys. Their mood is, we want Krishna, we want to give Krishna enjoyment. So really, that's how one becomes immersed in Gopi Bhava. I want to give Krishna enjoyment.
And giving Krishna enjoyment means doing the thing
he wants
most, which is to give Krishna to others, because he gives Krishna to others.
Even if he leaves us brokenhearted by not being present before us. I mean, even if Krishna doesn't give us realization, which is the same thing as not being present before us.
Same thing.
Then I'm a servant. So that's what the gopis are all about. It's not, they're not all about just like dancing with Krishna and kissing Krishna. That's not the gopis. They do that. But that's not primary. That's secondary. Because they'll do whatever Krishna wants. You know, Krishna sent Prabhupada down to the material world. The Prabhupada, you know, there's that famous story, Prabhupada said, how can I go there? Krishna said, you're going to go there. And Prabhupada said, okay. So that's a gopi. Or a cowherd boy. Or a parent of Krishna. Not someone who says, you know, I really want to join the rasa dance. It sounds like a far out dance. You know, I get to kiss Krishna. That's not really the mentality of the gopis. You know, when they do kiss Krishna, it's to give Krishna pleasure. It's not like, you know, people in the mundane world, they kiss each other because of some, like, sensorial enjoyment from lips. You know? I mean, they can have that by having a robot or something. They have that nowadays.
Yes, I know.
I find it interesting.
I had a brother who used to kiss his animals that he had, like his rabbit and his hamster and his turtle. So it's not about kissing Krishna or dancing with Krishna. It's about giving Krishna enjoyment. That's what it's about. And if the other symptoms manifest like kissing and dancing, that's secondary is to give Krishna enjoyment. See, the rasa dance is not about dancing. It's about giving Krishna enjoyment. Isn't it? I mean, that's the essence of it. Because they're immersed in the mood of sacrificing everything for Krishna.
The reason I ask is because certain people have tried to convince me that, in years past, that I should be meditating at the Ashtakaliya Lila in order for my... Yeah, in order for my own spiritual growth.
But Prabhupada never recommended that. That will manifest automatically, the Ashtakaliya Lila. Yes, I mean, ultimately, when someone reaches that platform, then it happens, and they're still preaching Krishna consciousness. Don't think the Prabhupada wasn't meditating on those things. But that will happen. It's not an artificial imposition on the mind. What we understand of Ashtakaliya Lila? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I know Ashtakaliya Lila, but it's not that I sit around all day meditating on it. Now it's time for Krishna to go to sleep. And then you put him to sleep, and then as soon as you put him to sleep, he runs out the window, jumps out the window to go run around. That's Ashtakaliya Lila. Yeah.
Well, on that point that you mentioned, I remember I was told a few years ago that actually that it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who could see that with the rise of the industrial revolution in the West, it became actually impossible for devotees to just be bhajanandis.
Mm.
And that therefore he actually said that our process in this age is to preach, which is why he had so many sannyasis. And he could recognize that even if we were to try to sit down and chant bhajan, especially for beginners and neophytes, it just would not be possible because our minds are just not, we're too agitated actually in the world.
And even if we could do it, preaching is more valuable. It's not a question that we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we could do it, mandas and mandas, everybody's suffering would come to you with. I mean, look at Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He could do it. Actually, he was... He vowed to chant a billion names or a billion rounds of Krishna's name. And Lord Chaitanya interrupted him during that whole vow. That was an interesting thing. He was capable of doing it. And Lord Chaitanya interrupted him and said, get out there and preach. So he didn't complete that vow. Confirmed. So... It's not that simply industrial revolution. I mean, probably never said that. It's that this age of Kali, or every age, a devotee is a preacher. Goshtananandi is a higher position than Bhajanananda. Unless you happen to be, let's say, Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj or something like that. But these are special personalities. But Srila Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj said that they're all imposters. It's one of his statements. He said they're all imposters. I mean, obviously there were some good ones like Bhagavat Das Babaji. I mean, there were other ones who were actually bona fide. But he was speaking basically the 99.99% of them are all imposters. And there was that person who did bhajan in the latrine next to him, and he screamed at him and said, you're simply, thinking of sex life. And then, there's so many stories about going to show this Babaji Maharaj and really getting heavy on people. But in any case, our Acharya is Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada set his example for us, gave us instructions, and gave us an easy way to become pure devotees as preaching. It's a quick process. I mean, let's say you could do bhajan and anandi, you chant, but why not do the quick process?
It seems like, though, that from what I can see with some of the devotees that I know who like to engage in bhajan, that it seems that doing preaching and following what Srila Prabhupada has established seems to be more difficult sometimes for the mind than, like you said, taking to meditation as the Kali Lila, because there's more, in a way, Krishna.
Yeah, but if they don't please Krishna, they can't think of Ashtakali. Even if they think they're thinking of it, they're not thinking of it. They're thinking of their mind's projection.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't enter. I was walking this morning and I was praying to Krishna, let me see the real Braj. You know, are we seeing the real Braj here or not? So you cannot actually enter Vrindavan. You cannot enter the Ashtakaliya Leela just by thinking, you know, it appears to be the Ashtakaliya Leela. And you know, you do have the external description. But you can't really understand it, enter into it, or connect it to it. And because people are very much addicted to romantic affairs in this world, then it's very enjoyable for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're considering their sublimated material enjoyment to be spiritual. I'm not saying everybody, but generally that's the case. You know, it's sublimated. You know what sublimated means? You know what sublimated means? No, she doesn't know.
I'm guessing what it could mean.
Sublimated means, let's say you have a balloon and you press one side in, you won't let it expand. There's something else has to pop out.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like it's a Freudian term. That, you know, if you, let's say it's in Brahmacharya, wants to be celibate. And so it comes out as anger towards women.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a sublimation. Or pride, or something like that. So the same way, it's like they're expressing their romantic, you know, mood. Because I mean, you know, all you ladies like to hear romantic movies, watch romantic movies. My mother used to watch these romantic movies. Like, there was one, what was the name of that? Love Story. I remember she came back from it, she was crying and crying and crying. You know, ladies love those things. So your enjoyment is the same thing, you know, just Radha and Krishna, but you're not really thinking of service, you're not really thinking, you haven't entered into it. It's like, well, like Prabhupada said, licking the outside of a jar of honey.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're licking the honey, but actually tasting the jar. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You're tasting the jar, not the honey. Oh, there's honey tasting, but you don't know what the taste of. You got to open the jar. So the same way, unless you have the adhikar, you can just like recite the Ashtakaliya Leela all you want. I mean, I had people went to Radhakund, they got into this stuff, they accepted it one of the Babaji's, then they got dissatisfied with that Babaji, took another Babaji, then one became a Buddhist, and then he became a mediator. You know, I have all these stories of people who do stuff like that. You really have to have the adhikar. And the way we get the adhikar is by bringing other people to Krishna. When we get a taste, it's like that. You can't like force a taste. It has to be based on seva. If it's not based on seva, then it's not connection with Krishna. Because it doesn't have the essential element that is the root of all the other rasas, but it's not based on seva. I mean, what does Mother Yashoda think? You know, I just want to enjoy this cute little baby? No. She's thinking, I want to serve him. She's an anxiety over him, not that, oh boy, I get to pick up this little baby. I mean, sometimes, you know, ladies like that sometimes, they pick up other people's babies because it's so cute.
I mean, your face just made a little
noise. Isn't it? Yeah. Oh, what an adorable little baby you got. Can I pick him up? He's so cute. And then, but then, you know, I mean, I'll give you an example. Sometimes, you know, sometimes the little mothers give me their babies. They want me to bless the baby.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, how cute he looks. And all of a sudden I hear, and I said, take your baby back. Before, and one time I looked at my dog and he's all wet.
Oh,
and
then no.
I said, yuck. Yeah, these things happen. I mean, you know, especially. Yeah, anyway, people have babies. They always want to have a picture of the baby and the sannyasi blessing their baby. And anyway, but the actual mother is the one who wants to serve. Just like that story in the Bible. That's an interesting story. That who's the king? Solomon. Solomon had a dilemma there. Two ladies were claiming the baby was theirs. You know the story? And he finally said, well, we're going to solve this. Cut the baby in two. And he saw that the one who was in the most anxiety, was ready to give the baby away immediately, was the real mother. Because she was just concerned about the baby. She didn't, ultimately, she wasn't concerned. She was concerned a little bit, but she wasn't concerned that just the baby would be with her. She wanted the baby to be taken care of. And so she was ready to give the baby away so the baby would be safe. That's actually, isn't it? So that's safe service. She wasn't thinking, you know, I can't just enjoy this little baby. You know.
Thank you, Gerda. I feel like you've really broken down. You know, when I ask myself, why is there no taste? I feel you've just really clarified it. It's if I'm not engaged in, at all, like somehow they're helping anybody, even a little bit.
Yeah, you have to help others. When you help others, you help yourself. When you help others, you're pleasing Krishna to the greatest degree.
And if you don't know what to do, I guess then that's when the sankalpa comes in. We have to really be meditating on that.
Yeah, pray for empowerment, pray for intelligence, pray for, service to do that. But that's the mood of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I mean, there's this famous poem, and I don't remember the whole poem. He said, basically, we should keep this rug on our heads, that this is it's famous on our heads, and not, just engage in the service of bringing people to Krishna consciousness. That's the point. And that's our Prabhupada's example. That's our acharyas, he said. I mean, Narottama Das Thakur, they left Vrindavan. And he wrote his poetry not for himself. He wrote his poetry in simple Bengali language, although he knew Sanskrit. He was a scholar. He did that for others, so others could come to Krishna consciousness. So that was his own name, Srinivas Acharya. I mean, they were all in Vrindavan. They were all pure devotees. Where is it mentioned that they actually just absorbed themselves in us to call the Leela? I mean, there's some instances of Srinivasacharya went in trance, I understand that, but his general activity was preaching. Sure, Prabhupada had his trance too, but generally, it was, 99% of the time, it was presenting Krishna consciousness to others. It wasn't just being in trance in Vrindavan. And even the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were excavating the holy places. Raghunath Das Goswami was excavating Radhakund for other people. Jiva Goswami was compiling all these different texts, and most of which had very little to do with Ashtakavali or Leela.
Sorry.
Jiva Goswami, Shat Sundara, texts on epistemology, like Tattva Sundara. I mean, that doesn't. Very little to do with Krishna's pastimes.
That was not it.
Yeah, she called me when I called this phone.
Oh, that's another phone. So anyway, just look what the Goswami said. Sanatana Goswami, literature is discovering the holy place and advising the residents of Vrindavan. It's not really described that he just sat there and meditated on Ashtakavali Leela.
That's amazing, because it gives a completely different perspective on. Even when we visit those sacred places, like let's say Ramadasudama Samadhi, it's not just the place where he is Samadhi or he did bhajana. It's actually to remind us of the service he did, the preaching he did.
That's the preaching. I mean, he excavated a place, and then of course it was put in the name of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is like the lawyer.
Yeah.
Because Raghunath didn't want anything put in his name. And then, I mean, all the Goswamis were like that.
When we were in Radhavish, we studied at one point Jiva Goswami, and he said, Sandharva said, our teacher, Radhika Raman, he said that Jiva Goswami was the first person in the history of India to ever leave a will behind, which was that all the Gaudiya Vaishnava temples would always remain property and under the care of the Chaitanya Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
And that, just how he would write. You probably heard that he would, for example, write verse number one on a banana leaf.
Yeah.
And while that leaf is drying, he would write verse number three.
Mm.
And then write verse number two, right? And like that, he wrote 400,000 verses.
Yeah, amazing. Jiva Goswami is amazing. Yeah. A question of brothers in my time. Rupa the Rasacharya, you know, the Sanatana established the Sambandha. I mean, they each had a specific aspect of service to Lord Chaitanya that they did. So, and of course, you have Lord Chaitanya in his final pastime, just immersed in the moon of the gopis, you know, beating his head against the Gambira, things like that. But that's not for us. It's not that you should come here one day and find me beating my head against the floor. Feeling separation from Krishna, or running, or my body becoming elongated, you know. It's not, I mean, for us, our business is deserve and desire. That was Prabhupada's mood. And my realization is, you please Prabhupada. That's why Prabhupada had to just shout himself a Bhagavad Prasad, you know, by pleasing the pure devotee, then you get Bhagavad Prasad and the mercy of Krishna. If you please Prabhupada, and you please the simple succession by preaching. I mean, just look at Prabhupada's mood. Anybody who could preach, I mean, Prabhupada was extremely pleased with. I mean, when Bhakti Chirtha Maharaj went to communist countries and risked his life, Prabhupada just like got up out of his asana and embraced Bhakti Chirtha Maharaj, which he didn't do quite often with other devotees. He just embraced him. He was so pleased. So, you know, just look at who Prabhupada considered the most prominent devotees, you know, who was personally working with, you know, Krishna Maharaj, by the Chaitanya Maharaj, people did things. Even if in other ways they were actually unqualified, or even later showed themselves to be unqualified, then the people a lot of times do later show themselves to be unqualified. But because he did so much in the preaching field, Prabhupada spent so much time with him. He gave so much prominence. So that's Prabhupada's a lesson for us. You know, preaching is the essence, spokes are the basis, utility is the principle, purity is the force. All right, it is 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Oops, sorry, Krishna. Mm-hmm. You gotta be careful when you're sitting with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Oops.
Oh.
That's all right. That's my reaction for offending Krishna.
Krishna.
He's crying. Okay, everybody, thank you all for joining us.